powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ our King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival.
As I was thinking about that song, I was thinking about Israel. I don't know why. It just hit me just now about the country of Israel. How God had chosen that to be his people, his nation. And how all of these years, through all the surrounding of enemies, through all the hatred, how Israel has remained and stood because of that powerful name of that Messiah that came to his people, that rejected him, but yet he loved them. And he keeps protecting them and keeping them and watching over them, because there's no enemy that can prosper against them or against God's people. There is no foe that can take away what God's already done. There is no darkness that can drown out the light which is found in Christ. There is no enemy that's stronger than the name of Jesus. There is no power, no principality, no spirit of the air that is stronger or more powerful than the name of Jesus. It's a wonderful name. It's a beautiful name. It's a holy name. It's a life-changing name. It's a redeeming name. It's a saving name. It's a healing name. Everything can be found in that name. Freedom, as Marjorie said, is found in that name. Freedom, Paul said in Galatians 5, be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Be set free from that and don't go back to it. Once we've been set free by Christ, we will not be entangled anymore with anything else, because Jesus has set me free today and tomorrow and next month and next year and my next season. He has set me free forevermore. Hallelujah. Forevermore. I'm free by the hand of God. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated this morning. Melanie, come on up. We'll have her do a song. I asked her to do this song this morning. It's called I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. And I thought it was quite fitting for what we're celebrating, that we know that we're proud of our country and we should honor that, but we're more proud of our Lamb, of our Savior, of our God. And this song, listen to the words. We don't have the words on the screen, but listen to the words. It's a very powerful song. I stand redeemed. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. We do stand redeemed, though.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to
it.
if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny, like a great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices sing. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and the years have gone, and the cause of Jesus still goes on. Our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by for the one who died to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on the final day, let us proudly stand and boldly sing. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. To the
die. I think about that. Would I be that strong? We think we would, right? Especially on Sunday mornings when we're feeling the Holy Ghost moving. Oh yeah, Lord, I'd die for you. But then something happens. Monday comes, don't it? The Holy Ghost may not be on you like it was on Sunday. I think, man, could I stand in the face of someone knowing? Think about this. Turn me up just a little bit on my handheld, Jeremy. We have, we all have fears. Right? We have fears. What if your greatest fear was presented to you and says, this is going to happen unless you deny Jesus? I know what Melon's greatest fear would be. Would you still accept Jesus, baby? It'd be hard, wouldn't it? Oh, think about all those disciples, how all those disciples were martyred for the cause of Christ. Wow. Before the kids are dismissed, we're going to do one more thing. I want them to be a part of this. We are going, of course, we want to honor our country today. I'm going to ask you to stand and just sing along. It'll be on the screen. God bless the USA. And let's just, we want to do that in honor of our country, in honor of the people who fought for this country, and in honor of God for putting us in this country. Because I am very, very thankful to be here. There's a lot of problems, yes. But I would rather be here with the problems than anywhere else. Because as Marjorie said, within limits, we can do about anything we want, far as we really can. I mean, we had the freedom to go buy a car and buy our homes and buy our clothes and worship and raise our kids and you know, there's job opportunities. And we really can be anything we want to be. We really, really can. And I'm thankful for that. So if you would stand, let's sing along. God bless the USA. Brandon will play it.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again, just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Proud to be an American. I still am, church. I don't know about y'all. I'm very proud to be an American. Y'all be seated this morning, and our kids be dismissed to Sunday school at this time up until August 26th. I hear you. Putting your own money in. He's making sure, look, I'm putting money in. God first. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. God first. Got thinking about this week and what we're celebrating and how there have been changes in our culture. Things that a lot of us as Christians don't agree with and have a hard time swallowing. And we see a lot of problems with people. We see a lot of problems with society. And I want to really press home the point today that every gift comes from God. Everything comes from God. All of our freedoms, our health, our livelihoods, our money, our spouses, our children, they're all gifts from God. And we got to be very careful that we don't take credit for things that don't belong to us. That's why, you know, dedicating children are so important. I love seeing that because parents are saying, you know, this is a gift from God. And I'm going to make sure that God watches over this gift. It's yours, Lord. And you can take care of it a lot better than I can. And so I give it to you to watch over and to keep all of its days. Speaking of that, we got another baby dedication next Sunday. This couple is going to dedicate their baby. So that'll be the, what, fourth baby dedication? That is amazing. I love it. So we're excited about dedicating her. And that'll be next Sunday. We'll do that. So, but that's really important that we recognize all of our gifts come from the Lord. I want to start out by, first of all, let me start out by reading Psalms 33:12. And then I'm going to read something else before we go to the next scriptures. Psalms 33:12. Look what it says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that's what I want to focus on. That we as God's people in a corrupt culture can still put God first. And we got to be careful that we don't get hoodwinked into becoming weak because we're worried about what someone may think. There used to be a time, and my grandma will say amen to this, there used to be a time we worried more what God thought than we worried about what people thought. And we've gotten away from that because we've gotten to a... And I hate to use a political term because it's going to offend some people. Let's say this is not political. Just say I heard it somewhere, okay? We've grown into a snowflake generation. Right? Where everything offends everybody. There was a sign on Facebook. And I know it's probably a joke, but it did make a point because we really are that extreme sometimes. But it probably wasn't a real. But it shows a woman in a grocery store holding a sign in front of the milk case. And it says, save the cows. And the caption under says, doesn't this stupid person know they don't have to kill a cow to get milk? But I think sometimes we just want something to protest so bad we make something up. Because I want to protest it. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. So I'm going to protest it. Instead of saying, you know what? Instead of worrying about what everybody else thinks, and I know we walk in love. We should walk in love. And our light is important. We shouldn't want to be a stumbling block for our brothers and sisters. But we, at the same time, have to stand for what we know is truth, even when it hurts. Poor little baby. Little Chris Nitsu looking thing. We have to stand for God on what's truth. And our nation, no matter how people want to not deny this, it was founded on a lot of spiritual truths in the very beginning. And I want to read a few quotes here. For you, in case you've not heard these, this is a quote. It says, and I'll tell you who said it after I read it. The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scripture must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to the hope than they appear to be at the present time. And may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This was our sixth U.S. president, John Quincy Adams, who wrote that. Next quote, God who gave us life and liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction of the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Our third president and signer of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, said that. And one more. And it is our duty to extend our wishes to the happiness of the great family of man. I conceive that we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating the supreme ruler of the world that the rod of tyrants may be broken to pieces and the oppressed made free again, that wars may cease in all the earth, and that confusions that are and have been among nations may be overruled by promoting and speedily bringing on that holy and happy period when the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, may be everywhere established and all people everywhere willing to bow to him who is Prince of Peace. Samuel Adams. Not the beer, the person. Here are three quotes from three different people from way, way back who honor God, who realize in their position he's ruler, he's supreme, he's number one. Everything else falls under that. We've gotten away from that in our country. There was a day, and I don't want to get too religious or too legalistic, because I don't believe in that, but there was a day when church day, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, but the day we celebrate, we honor, we come together in church. There was a day when that was a sacred day. It was a day when everything was closed. Restaurants were closed. Stores were closed. And there definitely wasn't no ball games going on Sunday, as far as these little league baseball games and basketball tournaments and cheerleading competitions and all the stuff we're seeing now, that parents are putting more emphasis on that whenever only 0.5% of every athlete will turn pro. But we invest 10 years of their life making that the focal point. And what are they missing through all those years? What foundation? I understand there's things we should be doing. Our kids did extracurricular activities. That's okay. But when we have now said things are more important than being in the house of God, something's wrong. That used to be a day that was an automatic. I've told you the story before. I never had to ask my parents growing up, "We going to church tomorrow?" Wasn't a question. It's Sunday. Is the sky blue, son? Yeah. Is that dog furry? Yep. Is your mama Simon Patty's good? No. Of course we went to church. It was never an issue. When it came Sunday, other than my parents, us being on vacation, or if they were deathly sick, or if the weather was bad, we were at church. I know Marjorie texted me yesterday, said, "We having church Wednesday night." And I had to think about it for a minute. I'm like, "Yeah." "Oh, it's July the 4th. "Yeah." And we don't cancel for holidays unless it's something really, really extreme. And it may be very light Wednesday. That's okay. But we're going to be in the house of God on Wednesday night. And if five people show up, I'll preach to five like I do to 500. So we'll be here. We don't just cancel things out of, "Oh, I got to see the fireworks tonight." Look, be here, you'll see some fireworks. If you was here last Sunday, y'all saw some fireworks, did you not? It was booming up in here last Sunday morning. Whew. Man, it was awesome. We, as a nation, were founded, and we are here because of God. Think about how our birth happened. When they first came from England to establish this country, to get away from the tyranny and the religious oppression and find a place of freedom, they were met with a lot of resistance. We call that the Revolutionary War. We were outmanned and we were outnumbered by far. We should have lost that war in any general's instructions. We should have been defeated. But those patriots fought, and they fought, and they fought, and they died, and they bled, and they were maimed, and they fought, and they fought, and they kept fighting until there was no more fight. And then about 100 years later, something else happened terrible in our country. A civil war broke out. North and South, a nation trying to divide itself. And through that turmoil of our history, brother fighting against brother, family fighting against family in the same nation. And God saw us through that. And in this generation, the greatest war we're fighting is a cultural war. It's not about skin color. It's not about even political party. It's a cultural war. It's about sin trying to overtake righteousness. It's about darkness trying to swallow up light. And we as God's people must stand on truth and say, God, you're number one. You're number one in my marriage, number one with my children, number one in my job, number one in everything that I do. God, you are number one in my life. And we got to back it by being that and doing that and trusting. God, you are number one. We're fighting a lot of battles. We're fighting a lot of things. And there are many people where God is now way down the ladder. He's a by thought and not the first thought. And there used to be a time that we recognize and honor God in all that we did. And we've gotten away from some of that. And we're seeing this nation divided, and we're seeing it torn, and we're seeing sin celebrated, and we're seeing it honored. We're seeing things that we used to say, I can't stand for that because of the God that I serve. And if God says it's wrong, and if God says that's not right, I need to honor that, no matter how unpopular that it is. We've got different movements trying to rise up that's trying to silence the voice of the Christian. And the ones that are Christians, especially the South, we're the dumb hicks down here. We're the ones that's not with the times. We're the ones that are way behind. We're the ones that are intolerant. We're the ones that are those conservative, spiritual Christians who believe in the blood of Jesus and the cross, and they actually believe that God's the Bible is God's infallible word. Yes, we believe in those things. We believe the Word of God. The Bible is God's Word. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. We believe the Holy Spirit is real. We believe there is a heaven. We believe there is an eternal life. We believe there is a right way and a wrong way. We believe, church, we believe, and there's nothing shallow about that. It's time we think about how the people in Jesus' day, they were the minority. The disciples going around talking about Jesus and laying hands on the sick and preaching God's Word, they were the minority. They were made fun of. They were kicked out of the cities. They were put in prison for it. They were tortured and tormented and eventually killed because of it. This has always been. It's just, what are we going to stand for? We're going to stand for right or wrong. We're going to put God first again or down the ladder. I want you to turn to Joshua for me, chapter 24. Read you just a few verses here in Joshua 24. And Joshua makes a declaration to the people. Moses had died, and Joshua now had taken over to finish leading them in the promised land. And here's what he tells them in chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and oliveyards which you planted, you do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. I want to stop for a minute and say this. We think about this generation having pagan gods. They did. A lot of false gods. But how many gods today are we worshiping? I mean, how many gods? You know, Kevin works down at Bank of America Stadium during football season, and he sees some maniacs down there, I'm sure. I took Christian to a Giants game several years ago. We sat way up in the nosebleed section. And we were around some people that had been drinking a little too much. And, man, their mouth and their language, and they're talking to these players like they know them, right? Come on, 22. You know better than that. What you doing, boy? They can't hear you. They don't know you. And they don't care. How many times you see signs in stadiums with a player's name in Brett Favre, I trust, right? In Aaron Rodgers, we trust. In Ben, we trust. Really? You trust in that? I would love to see some signs in football stadiums in God we trust all around. You know what? You wouldn't see that on camera. They wouldn't show it probably. We trust in men, and we worship our sports and our idols. And they become idols. There's a show called what? American idol. We're making idols out of people and out of things whenever God is the supreme God and the only Lord and the only Savior. Put Him again first and let the things of the world go. There are people that will put everything else before that because it's more of a priority. But that doesn't save you. And that doesn't keep you. And that doesn't give you an eternal life. And that's not where your promise is in. Your promise is in God and nothing else. Everything else passes away. But what God has done will not pass away. As Marjorie said when she opened up, we are free from our sin. And not only that, but from the judgment that comes because of sin. We're free. Wow, Jesus did that for me. There's no greater God than that, who took my place and who died for me. So he makes a charge. He makes a charge to the people here in verse 15. And if it seem evil to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make a decision. Who are you going to serve? Which side are you on? We have a plaque above our double doors coming in that's with that verse on it. Choose this day who you will serve. It's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We either stand for God, He's number one, or He's not in everything that we do. We used to pray about things, didn't we, Grandma? We used to pray about things before we did them. We used to pray before we bought a car, pray if we bought a house, which I'm very proud of Teresa. Wednesday night, she had that wreck and got a new vehicle. And she asked me Wednesday night if I would come out and bless the car. So I took the oil out there and put it around all four parts of her car, front, back, and both sides, and we prayed over her car that God would bless her vehicle and that God would keep her while she was in it. That's putting God first. And I promise you, if y'all ever bring me a red Corvette, that's the first thing I will do. I will put oil all around it. And it'll be so sanctified, and I'll dance like the Holy Ghost is all up on me. But I appreciated Teresa doing that, honoring God and knowing how important that is. How many of us think to do that? I mean, and maybe we mean to, we just don't, or we forget. But how many of us think to do that? We get a vehicle, we anoint it. Get a house, we anoint it. You know, get a pet, let's anoint it. Lord, let it be a good pet and let it be, keep it and watch it and protect it. I mean, if we put God first in everything we do, it may sound silly. You mean you pray for a pet? Why not? You pray for, you just put 20 on the Steelers to win. You're praying for that. Pray for what's important. Because whether the Steelers win or the Panthers win or the Tar Heels win, and I like watching sport, but you know what? Don't change my life. It don't change my life. Carolina go 0-16 and move out of the city. Don't change my life. I'm still going to be here on Sunday. And maybe if they close down, y'all be here more on Sunday. I don't know. But I'll be here on Sunday. It don't change my life. What does change my life is what Jesus did. That's why He's number one. And Joshua says, choose who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He is it that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight. And He preserved us in all of the way wherever we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove them out from before us, all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. You know what happened? They started remembering what God done for them. Oh, yeah, He is the one that delivers out of 400 years of slavery. He's the one that parted the Red Sea. He's the one that gave us water out of a rock when we were thirsty. He's the one that poured manna down every single morning on the ground.
He's the one that kept our shoes from wearing out and our clothes from wearing out. He's the one that kept us healthy and no disease and no sickness for those 40 years. He's the one that protected us from the lion, the bear, the tiger, oh my. He's the one that did those things. He's the one that kept us in all of our ways. So you know what? Yeah, he is God. He is Lord. And that's the one I'm going to serve because I remember where he brought me from. Let's remember where he brought you from. Where was you before God? And where would you be without God? Remember where he brought you out of. Remember the land of Egypt where he found you and he breathed life into you. He says, no more are you that, but I'm now making you this. That's what God did for us. He did not leave us in the shape that he found us, but he restored us. He redeemed us. He shaped us. He molded us, and he made us different, and he made us new, and we don't reflect what we used to be, but there's a brand new reflection in the water, and now we resemble him as a child of God, him being our Father. That's what he done for us. Hallelujah. That's why God's number one in everything we should do. He's number one. I wouldn't have nothing without God. I wouldn't have my wife without God, my kids without God, this ministry without God, all of you as friends without God. I wouldn't have anything. My heart is beating this morning only because, not because I ran a 5K this morning, because I didn't. The only reason my heart is beating right now is because God is causing it to beat. He is the giver of life. And my life is in his hands. And my mind is in his hands. And I can see because of him, hear because of him. I can walk because of him. I can dance because of him. I can raise my hands because of him. I can slap my hands because of him. I can speak. I can smell. I can breathe. I can move. I can live. I can exist. Everything is because of him, the giver of life, the creator of all, the redeemer, the Messiah. All those things, he is my God, and he is number one. And if we could prioritize that again, my God, would walk in more victory. Number one's not who's playing at 2 o'clock on TV. Number one's not our big road trip. Number one is not all the things that we prioritize above God. There used to be times we would spend quality time with God and we would hear from God. The reason we're not hearing from God is because he's not number one anymore. Everything else is. We're hearing the noise here, the noise here. It's time we go back to the old TV days. You had three channels. Remember three channels? I mean, I'm old enough to remember three channels. CBS, ABC, NBC. You had three channels. And if you got lucky, you got two or three of them. You had the antenna, you know, and you had to put, you know, hold your mouth just right. Sometimes you had rabbit ears. You had to adjust the rabbit ears, put tinfoil on the ends of them. Remember that? I don't know why tinfoil worked, but it did, or seemed to. And we didn't have remotes. You know, I was a remote growing up. Dad, go turn it. You know, no remotes. Whole different world. Now we have so many choices. We have so many things. When you go to Golden Corral, isn't it hard to even pick what you want to eat? You're standing there going, oh, my God, where do I start? Was salad bar? Yeah. Dessert bar? They cut you steak. They grill stuff on the grill. Then you got your taco bar. You got your vegetables. You got your breads. I mean, you got all. You don't even know where to start. It's almost too much. It almost creates anxiety. Because you're so excited and happy to be there. You know, you don't know where to go. Man. We need to get back in our prayer closet and say, God, you're number one in my life, and I want you to be number one. I want you to lead me and guide me and teach me and help me. And, Lord, I need you to speak to me and show me what to do. Next scripture. This is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11. This one, Solomon had just finished the temple. And this is a very familiar verse, or one of them will be. When we get to it, you'll recognize it. But this one's Solomon built the temple, and he's finished it. Verse 11, Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make him the house of the Lord. And in his house he prosperly affected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And he said to him, I have heard your prayer. I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Powerful verse of repentance, of us turning away from ourselves. Here's the thing I have a problem with. I know this offends people. It's going to always offend people. But a couple things I want to share. We talk about sin is one thing, celebrating sin is another thing. And that's the problem I have as a Christian, is when we're celebrating sin. Now, I know for our younger generation, it's almost a normal thing. It wasn't in my generation. Just one generation removed, this was not normal. But it is in the generation, millennial generation, is normal. I get it. I get it's normal, part of the culture. But it doesn't make it right. We have a generation that is coming out of the closet, as we know. I mean, they're coming out of the closet. They're coming out of the closet with no regret and no remorse and no shame. They're coming out proud and bold and celebrating it. A church, I love all people. I talk to all people. I've talked many times to gay people one-on-one. I've got gay people in my own family. I love them. The problem is that we shouldn't celebrate something we know goes against the Word of God. We got Rainbow Month now going on. A whole month celebrating it. Rainbow Month. They've taken a sacred symbol of a covenant of God. And I want y'all to hear this. This is serious. I want you to listen. They've taken a covenant that God gave us, the rainbow, a promise of God, and they have corrupted it and made it an abomination. Just like the KKK took a cross. How do you take a cross? How do you take a symbol of love and mercy and make it a symbol of hate? How do you do that? And we're celebrating sin. We're proud of sin. Church, I'm not proud of my sin. If y'all come out slap, sloppy, slap hind end, drunk up out of a bar one Saturday night and ran into me or somebody at the church, would you be proud? Hey, Randy, what up, bro? I'm drunk and I'm proud of it. I'm an old sloth and I'm proud. Glory be to God. I came out of the booze closet. No, we're really wondering the next day, my God, I hope nobody saw me, and I hope I made no phone calls, and I pray to God I didn't get on Facebook in that condition. Because no telling what. Because church, I've seen some Facebook posts where some people I know have been a little bit intoxicated because it made no sense. I got to read it 5 times. I'm like, what are they saying? Woo, somebody's had a good night. We're not proud of that. You go pick up a hooker on the street, and you run into somebody you know. Oh, what's up? I just got off the hooker. Proud of it. She hooked me up. Yeah, I'm proud. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but that's different. That's different. The Bible is clear about any sexual immorality. Not just homosexuality, but fornication, adultery, all those things. Why are we celebrating and why are we proud? I know we love people, and that's okay. I love Joe Brown, but if Joe Brown came to me and says, hey, I'm going to cheat on Sharon, do you still love me? I still love you. But I'm going to beat you to half an inch of your life because Sharon's sweet. And I'm going to say, no, Joe, that's wrong, brother. Why are you doing that? She's getting on my nerves. I know. But just, point is, good and bad, rich or poor, sick or, all that stuff. Remember your vows. If God is number one in our lives, you know what's going to happen? We will once again be sensitive to His Word and to His will of what He wants in our lives. We won't be out celebrating sin that it's a good thing. Sin's a bad thing. Sin takes us down the wrong road, the wrong way, and brings no good to our lives. Sin eats at us like a cancer. It eats away out of our spirit, man. It takes away, it robs, it sucks out that which is good. That's why it's so important that God is number one. And that we say, God, what is your will? You know, another issue, I'm just going to say this, I'm going to be honest. You think about this. I'm not saying I'm for or against this. I'm just using an example of how hypocritical that people can be because they're not putting God number one. And we don't put God number one, we get messages real mixed up. We have an immigration issue that we all know of in this country that's being fought, an immigration issue. And we're seeing a lot of stuff on the news. Some stuff is true, some stuff is not. I've learned that 95% of most news is fake. But we're seeing things on the news, and we're seeing kids crying, being separated from their parents. But the same folks that are crying out this injustice and this, oh, I even heard one person say, well, if Jesus was here, this is what he would do. The same people that are crying out about these kids being separated from their parents are the same ones that have no problem taking a child out of the womb and killing it. Is that not separating a child from its parents? You're killing a child in the womb. Think about that a minute. How hypocritical is that? Oh, boo-hoo, the little boy's left behind. Well, we're killing 100,000, 200,000 babies, whatever, a year. I mean, really? Really? Bless you. It's because if God is number one, we will follow God's will and God's plan. And it will evenly cover all areas of our lives. It'll cover it. Bless you again, Grandma. We got to be careful what we're listening to, what we're putting our investment in, and realizing, you know what? Sin is sin. We're taking a child. I mean, that little girl was how old? 1 year old. When you were carrying her in your belly, was she alive? She was your little girl, wasn't she? She felt her heartbeat, felt her kick, slept on the wrong nerve some nights probably. She felt that child. Just because she couldn't physically hold it doesn't make that child any less alive. It was in her womb, breathing through mama, eating through mama, her little fingers growing, her toes inside growing, her organs growing, her vessels growing, her brain growing. All that was happening. It's a life. And to take that life, and we celebrate it now. Women celebrate that. It's my body, preacher. Leave me alone. You're not a woman. You don't understand. I'll never understand women. Thank God I won't, and I never will. I understand that. But it may be your body, but it's God's gift in your body. And to just end a life out of inconvenience. Wow. Just think about that a minute, how hypocritical it is. When God's number one, it controls everything we do. Life is life at the beginning. Life is life at the end. It's a gift from God. However long we're here, it's a gift. And I do believe that every child that is born was supposed to be born. No matter the circumstance, it's only God can give life. It still takes the hand of God to connect what needs to be connected to bring a life inside of a womb. And I believe every life is a gift. And we celebrate that. We celebrate life. We don't celebrate death. We do in the Christians, but we don't celebrate murder. We celebrate life. God first. As we celebrate this week, this country, think about how it was founded. They left England to be able to worship freely and understood it was the hand of God and the providence of God that brought them here. It was the hand of God that kept David Lee safe when that IED went off right around him and it malfunctioned. That was not just luck. It was the hand of God keeping him. It was the hand of God bringing my dad back from Vietnam in one piece and in one mind without being messed up and scarred. That was the hand of God keeping him. It's the hand of God everywhere. Getting in the highway is the hand of God. Driving on the interstate, driving on the roads, hand of God everywhere we go. God number one. When you go to UNC Chapel Hill, Michael, you remember that? God number one on your campus. Don't let those college fools mess you up. Don't let those people have no sense or no understanding of God
influence you. You know what you believe. You've heard it for many, many years. You've got a foundation. And you take that with you. God, you're number one in my studies, in my direction, in my future. Put me with the right friends around me. Bring the right people around me. Bring that right woman around me. Bring that person in my life that I can get married and leave mama. Bring that right one, Lord. Just play your mama. Take God with you. Christian did that when she went to college. I was so proud of her. She was surrounded by people with idiots all around her. I mean, she used to tell me, says, Dad, there ain't nobody at this college believes like I believe. Nobody. But she stood her ground. And she stayed. And she understood the foundation because she put God first. When we put God first, our life works. Now, there's things that happen. There's bumps in the road. If you're married, God could be first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. You're going to have problems. If you got children, God could be the first top ten. You're going to have problems. We get that. But somehow when God's first, things just work out. God honors and God blesses because we're giving it all to Him. We're giving. Do you know that's why our giving to the church is important? And this is not an offering message. It's now hit me. Somebody needs to hear it. This is why giving is important to the church, to the Lord. Because as we give of our finance to God, we're honoring Him with that. We can trust God. You know, I was talking to my somebody last night. We had a birthday party here, and I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about tithing. I said, yeah. And I said, you know, some folks give good. Some folks don't, you know, hardly give at all. And he said, you know, it's really funny. He says, you know, giving 10% of $100 ain't too bad. What's 10% of $100? That ain't bad, right? All y'all can y'all can all spill $10. What's 10% of $1,000? You think about that a little bit more, don't you? That's a Benjamin there, man. I can let go of a, who's on 10? Johnson? Andrew Johnson? Jack is on a 5. Who's on a 10? Hamilton. Whoever's on 10. Anyway, letting a 10 go ain't too bad. But letting 100 go is pretty bad. What's 10% of $10,000? Whew, man, Pastor, I can do a lot of $1,000. I want to tell you a story. I just want to say this in closing. It worked out great. We're going to take the offer up. I didn't mean to do it this way, I promise. This really came from the Lord. I promise it did. When I first left Walmart to start the church, as you know, most of you know, I left a good job and took a huge, huge pay cut. I did start out with a salary in the very beginning of the church, but it was a very small salary. And I took a 70% yearly cut in money. I lost 70% of my money. Well, and I'm saying this to tell you this. It's not about me. It's about what God has done so you can see the evidence of it. And you've seen it in this church. When I left my job, I took a 70% cut. Well, that alone, in God's eyes, might have been enough, right? I mean, Lord, the boy took a 70% cut. Not only that, but on my church salary, I still gave 10% of that away every week. Every single week. So now I'm at 80%, right? And you look at what God has done and how God has blessed. This ministry is only 16 years old. From its birth, 16 years old. And we have two buildings and 10.5 acres of land. And we got people under the steeple. I've seen all three of my children give their heart to Jesus in this church. I've baptized all three of my children in this church. We have dedicated numerous babies, married many, many people, baptized many. Many have found salvation and hope and healing. And I look around and see what God has done. And here's the deal. Here's my whole point of what I'm saying is I put God first. When God began to speak, and I'm going to tell you something. This church is here because of the Karinas and the Von Seals that wouldn't leave me alone, that says, we want to hear you preach. When are you going to preach? So I had a service on a Saturday night here in Statesville. I went back to work Monday, you know, thought it was all over. We're good. They heard me preach. Everything's good. When you have another one, we'll hear you again. Have another service. I'm like, well, they kept pushing. You remember that, Von Seal? Y'all kept saying, Von Seal, when you gonna preach again, James? It was good. It was good. I want to hear it again.
So we had another service. And just it went from there. God used that time of my life to produce this. And when God finally spoke to me, it was clear and I had no hesitation. I had peace. Was I nervous? Yes. Was Melanie nervous? Very more nervous. Stay-at-home mom with three kids. She was very nervous. But man, what a story it is now, huh? I mean, what a testimony of what God did. So it's important that even when we give to the church, you might think, well, the church don't need the money, or, you know, I'm not going to pay a preacher. I hear all kinds of things. I mean, man, it is amazing how, as a minister, we're the last ones thought of doing any kind of service for anything. It really is. And it's not that you're paying the preacher. It's that you're honoring God. As they're dedicating that baby next week, when you give your money in the plate, what you're doing, you're honoring God with your substance. And you are meeting the needs of this local body, because we have needs. We have one need coming up I'm going to tell you about next Sunday. I don't want to overwhelm you. So next Sunday we'll talk about that. But it is important that we honor God. And God has always honored my life. He's always blessed me. I've always, always been a tither. I know what you're saying. In church, I don't ever preach on it. I know what you're saying. You know, tithing is in the Old Testament, and tithing's part of the law, and I don't have to. And, you know, you're right on all that. You're right. You're under grace. I get it. You don't have to pay 10%. God ain't going to strike you down not giving 10%. Your life may be just blessed. You may be making six figures a year and driving three Cadillacs and have four blondes in a car. That's great. Life's good. But there's something about when you sacrifice your finance, you're saying, God, you can do more with this than I could ever do on my own. And I have always, that's why I love seeing the kids when they give. Their parents are teaching your kids to support God's work. My mom used to give me an allowance when I was a little boy. It wasn't much, man. This is how old I am. Okay, Ashley, think about this. I had to come home. My chore day was Friday. So after school, before I could go play, I had to come home, polish furniture. I think I had to vacuum. I had maybe dish. I had things I had to do. You know how much allowance I got? A dollar. One measly dollar. You can't buy a bottle of water for that now. And mom would tell me, now out of this dollar, 10%, which is 10 cent, goes to God. And in my Sunday school class, a kid, we did little offerings in Sunday school, I'd put my dime. And that taught me a principle of honoring God. Now I know we have bills. We have things happen. The heater breaks. The transmission goes out. I've had all those things happen. I've never once said, I can't do it now because I've got this. God gets it. He's number one. And He will take care of me. And as you can see, I've not missed no meals. I've got a home I live in. I've got a car that I drive. And God's been good. I don't know where to look near my age. God's been good. I mean, look at me. God's been good, Bill. He's been good. Put God first in our thoughts, with our giving, with our marriage, with our kids, with our service. The Bible says everything we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. I think about that a lot. Am I doing this as I would to God? Once again, we go to I guarantee if I gave two tickets to Brendan Tony for a Steelers game, 50-yard line, third row, free parking, free tickets, backstage, you get to come out of the tunnel. Brenda be painted up so yellow and gold, she looked like a bad tooth. She'd have her little pom-poms or whatever, headband, her war paint, her numbers on her cheeks. She'd be ready to roll. She would come out of that tunnel. She'd be yelling and screaming. They think the Holy Ghost got a hold of her coming out of that tunnel. I mean, she'd be losing her mind up in there. She would give it her all for them. Do we give our all for God? That's why I don't understand churches that think making no noise is more reverent. There's time to be quiet, yes. But man, We should be celebrating and praising God. And the Bible says make a joyful noise. Come into the sanctuary with singing and with shouting and with clapping of hands. I mean, this is way better than a Steelers game. This is the eternal game. This is the King of Kings, the supreme authority. The reason we're not going to hell and death is because of Him. He's the one we should trust. He's number one. And He saved our lives. Hallelujah. All righty. Marjorie, come on up here. Get ready to sing a little something. Let's see what she picks to sing here. She always does so good picking something kind of timely with the message. Just to let ushers come on up here.